Welcome again, and the seminar this afternoon is on choices. Well, let's open in prayer, and maybe, would you open in prayer for us? Okay. Well, every day we make choices. Somebody has said we make between 3 and 1,700 choices in the course of one day. I know, that's a lot, isn't it? But little things that we don't even think our choices are. And we just start making them from, actually, we make them before we get up, don't we? We choose to open our eyes and get going with our day. But some of these choices that we make, they don't matter much at all in the grand scheme of things. But some do, and some have far-reaching consequences. And in this seminar, I'd like us to look at different ladies in the scripture. And these ladies are taken from the Old Testament. And we're going to ask ourselves 6 questions. The first question, and I'm going to give you out a paper because I thought we'd divide up into groups for this. But what background information does the scripture give about this lady? What can we find out about her circumstances? And then describe the factors that led to her decision. And what would be at stake depending on the decision that she made? What choice did she come to? What did her decision, what effect did her decision have on her life's direction? What changed because of the decision she made? And then lastly, what can I learn from her? So I have 6 ladies here, and maybe if we divide up into groups of 2 or 3. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have 13. So this group takes Eve and Jochebed and Miriam for you girls. There's Ruth and Rebecca and Hannah. As you look at the paper you got, Eve's choice was this. Should I eat the fruit or not? Jochebed's was, should I try to save my baby? Rebecca, should I leave home and family and marry Isaac? Ruth, what direction should my life take as a young widow? Hannah, how can I handle the terrible depression and anxiety that I'm feeling? Esther, should I risk my life to save my people? And Miriam, how can I handle the feelings of discontent that I have? So if you just take the one that you have and work with your partner for probably about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll share what you find. I think, too, Hannah really shows that she learned to trust God in that situation over which she had no control. Do you think that when she left the temple that day, that she had peace even though she hadn't conceived a child? I think she did. I think she finally just rolled that burden onto the Lord and gave it to God, and that was the choice she made. Just, Lord, it's in your hands. And she certainly did keep her part of the bargain, didn't she? She gave Samuel back to the Lord, and he lived for God all the days of his life. Well, from these ladies, we can find out that our decisions go far into the future. They affect the present, but they affect the future so much. And not only that, but as we make decisions each day, we're forming our character. Our character is made really one decision at a time, one day after the other. Nobody makes our character for us. We make our character as we choose our choices in life. And sometimes we make right decisions, we make right choices because we feel compelled to do so. There's somebody stronger than us. When we're little, our mother might say, "Don't take a cookie before supper." And she's bigger, she has a wooden spoon maybe in the drawer that she will use, or something compels us. We don't take the cookie. But at the first opportunity, when mother goes out of the room and we're in the kitchen by ourselves, we're apt to take that cookie because she's not there with her wooden spoon to discipline us for doing bad. Our heart wants to make an opposite decision than we have. And that's how we are as Christians. We sometimes make wrong choices, and sometimes we make the right choice for the wrong reason, just because we feel compelled to. But God doesn't want that. He wants us to have our heart so in tune with Him that we want to make the right decision that pleases Him. We do it because we love Him. If you think of a friendship that you may be developing, first of all, you want to find out about your friend, don't you? You want to find out the details about your friend's life. You want to learn more about that person. Then you get to know the person, and you want to find ways you can please that person. And that's how it is with the Lord. The more we find out about Him, the more we find ways to please Him, then we learn to trust Him. We learn that He can be trusted. And pretty soon, all our thinking is, what can I do for the God who loves me? And how can I please Him? And that leads us to making right decisions, right choices. He has given us the Word. We have the examples. We looked at many examples today of women who made right decisions, some made wrong decisions. But also in His Word, He gives us guidelines. And if somebody wants to come and pass out these little books, there's just these little booklets that you can take, and in there, there's a little paper that says, "How do I know if something is right?" And we'll just go over those. I think there's even for everybody. And also, when you leave, if you want to take one of these. When I was a little girl, I went to a club called Pioneer Girls. I don't know. I don't think it's still. Is it still going today? Or anyhow, there we had a pal. And that was an older lady who took special interest in us. And just remembered our birthdays and remembered different times when she could encourage us. Well, my pal once gave me a little book, and in the book she wrote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that was the first time I had seen that verse. And I'm sure everybody here knows it, but it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." This little card says, trust is a must. And it is a must. As we've seen today, and those who made right decisions, they did them because they trusted God and they trusted that His ways were right. We don't go on our feelings. We go on what He says. And the Word of God has given us several directions. If you take that little pink card and look at it, these are just some questions that we can ask ourselves. Some of these ladies face questions today that Stephanie brought out. It was a direct command: don't eat the fruit. You don't have to ask yourself these questions. If there is a direct command in the Word of God that says something is right or wrong, you just go by that. But when it comes to something that is questionable or something that you're wondering about, and we're not going to sit here today and say, oh, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, but you can't do something else. That's not what God is about. He wants us to respond. He's given us principles in His Word, and He leads us. And the Christian life is not a series of do's and don'ts. It's a life that is lived for the Lord that we love. And He leads us through His Word and through His conscience. I know growing up, many times I would say to my mother, well, shall I do this or shall I do that? And often her answer, and I found it frustrating at the time, but she would say, go and pray about it. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that. I'm sure you have. I'm sure some mothers in here have given that advice. But you know what? When my mother would say that to me, sometimes it would make me feel angry because I knew the right answer even before I prayed about it. And I knew that was just her way of saying, you do what is right. And as I would pray, the Lord did show me and help me make some right decisions, although sometimes I made wrong ones. But the first question you can ask yourself about something you're in doubt about is, does the Lord forbid it? In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, we read this, abstain from all appearance of evil. Does what you want to do have an appearance of evil? That's one way to arrive at an answer to your question. The next question you can ask yourself is there any glory for God in it? Will the Lord be honored by what I'm wanting to do? And this could fit into a job, a life work, all kinds of activities that we might go into. We can ask ourselves, is there any glory for God in this? In 1 Corinthians 10:31, we read, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The third question, is it of the world? Do mostly the unsaved do it? The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15-17 that we are in the world. We're all here. But remember, if you were here this morning, we learned we are here to represent the Lord Jesus to our generation. That's our purpose. We are to be in the world, but we're not to be like the world. We're not to fashion our lives so that somebody looks at us and say, there's no difference. Is that person a Christian? I can't tell. I have to ask her because I can't tell by the way she talks, by the way she lives, by the way she looks. There's nothing about her that would suggest she's a Christian. She is like everybody else that I see in the world. So we are to be different. Another question we can ask ourselves, would the Lord have done it? He is our example. What you are thinking of doing, can you imagine Jesus doing that? Can you imagine Jesus watching that program on TV? Can you imagine Him reading that book or going to that place? Would He have done it? He is our example. The fifth thing, would you like to be doing it when the Lord returns? He gave us the promise that He's coming back, and we don't want to say or do anything or go anywhere that we would be ashamed for Him to find us when He comes back. We don't know when He will come. 1 John 2:28 says this, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I'm sure when all of us were growing up and Maybe your mom left you to do something at home and she went off to get groceries or do something and she asked you to do a specific job. Maybe she asked you to vacuum or do something. Well, you got busy reading a book or doing your own thing, and pretty soon you heard your mother coming in the door and you hadn't done what she asked you to do. You were ashamed at her coming, weren't you? You weren't ready for her to come. And that's how we will feel if we're not doing what is pleasing to the Lord. We will be ashamed if he comes and finds us doing what he doesn't want us to. Another question, can you feel free to do it when you remember that God the Holy Spirit lives within you? It's a wonderful truth that when we get saved, our bodies become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Every conversation that we have, he hears. Every place we go, he goes. Everything we do, the Holy Spirit accompanies us. Do we make him feel at home? You know, there's a little word study that once I read about in a book. It was called A Few Hid Treasures in the Greek New Testament. But this author said that there's some words in the New Testament that talk about feeling at home. And do you ever go into somebody's house and everything is so perfect, you're afraid to move around almost because you think you're going to break something and you don't feel at home, you feel on edge. Then you go to a friend's house and you just feel like you can settle down and be at home in that house and you don't have to be on guard. Well, there was one place in Jesus' life where he went, and it says he just settled down as a guest in their house. And do you know whose house that was at? Zacchaeus. He was at home in Zacchaeus' house, the sinner who came to him and just welcomed him into his home and adjusted his life so that it would be pleasing to God. Remember, Zacchaeus had stolen from people and had been very dishonest. But when he met Christ, he just changed. He adjusted his life. He made it right with all the people that he had stolen from. And he made Jesus feel at home in his house. Jesus wants to be at home in our house, in our heart house. How many have seen that little tract, My Heart, Christ's Home? It's so good. It talks about our hearts being like a home that Jesus lives in and takes up residence in. And it describes just like the rooms of a house. There's the library, the bedroom, the living room, and Jesus wants to be free to go into all these rooms. And the illustration is given that early in the morning, the Lord Jesus went down into the library hoping to visit with the person whose heart he lived in their house, and he was down in the library waiting and waiting in the morning to have a conversation before that person rushed off to work. But the person had got up late and no time to meet with Jesus that morning, and out the door he rushed. Nighttime was just as busy, and day after day the Lord Jesus was in a room of his house, but he was avoided by the person. And then there was another room in the person's house that was locked, and Jesus couldn't get into that room. And that just typifies that there are things perhaps in our life that we're not willing to give over to the Lord, and we make a choice to keep that for ourselves. We choose to keep the Lord out of certain areas of our life, and that is hurtful to him. And we don't grow in our Christian life as long as we do that. He wants access to each part of our life. So ask yourself, can I feel free to do it when I remember that God the Holy Spirit lives within me? Number 7, is it a good way for a child of God to act, or does it bring disgrace on my Heavenly Father? The next question, what effect will my actions have on the unsaved? Will they decide there's really no difference between a Christian and them? Or what effect will my actions have on the saved? Will it cause another Christian to get confused or mixed up? These are searching questions that we can ask as we make decisions. And finally, do you have any doubts in your mind? If in doubt, don't do it. And going back to my mother, I remember her telling me, when I was single and not married, she said, when you meet a person, if you do have any doubt in your mind about marrying that person, don't marry him. And her mother had spoken to her about the decision she made when she married my father. And my mother was in love. She hadn't maybe asked herself these proper questions. Maybe she didn't know to do that. But she married the wrong person. And she lived to regret that, that she had done that. And so she wanted to make sure that my sister and I didn't follow in those footsteps. And I would just say to you, that's a huge step when we choose a life partner. But don't ever consider marrying somebody that isn't a believer, because the Bible has specific instructions about that. What fellowship can we have with an unbeliever? There isn't any, and it can lead to a very lonely life. And you know, your choices don't start when you're in love. Your choices start when you're dating. Don't date somebody that you would not consider marrying. Don't be interested in somebody that isn't a believer. If you couldn't marry the person, don't date that person. That's a big decision. We've gone from small decisions to big decisions. Just remember, in Christ, we're free to choose not to do something. It's not that the Christian life is I don't, but I'm free not to have to do things that others feel that are necessary for enjoyment. The world's joy is different than God's joy. And God will help us if we look to Him for our decisions. That's why it's so important to read the Scriptures every day, to be familiar with the Scriptures, to be familiar with God's plan for us as women, to look at the lives of people in the Scripture, to read. It's so good if you can read. Well, it's good if you can read through the Bible every year, but that's not the important thing, is how much you read, but it's read till God speaks to you. Learn of Him. Each day, ask the Lord for something that will help you to get through that day and will help you to grow. And as you come to things in the Word of God that are instructions to you, take that step of obedience and trust. Trust is a must. And as you are obedient in the thing that you see today, tomorrow God will show you another step, and the next day another step. He never takes us farther than what we choose to obey. If we get saved, I had a friend once that she lived in our town, and she got saved out of Catholicism. And she truly was saved. She was a medical doctor. And I got to be good friends with her, and every week we would meet and we would study the Scriptures together. But you know, she never wanted to associate with a local assembly. She just wanted to grow on the Lord, or grow in the Lord, on her own at home. And she did that, but she never got baptized. She never came into the assembly fellowship. She never got the encouragement that comes from meeting with a body of believers. And today, I hate to say it, but she's back in the Catholic Church because she couldn't take that step of obedience, and she never grew. She didn't continue to grow in the Lord. So it's very important that we are willing to choose to obey the Lord in all that He asks us to do. I just wonder, we've got some older ladies here, we've got some of you young ladies here, and I just wonder if you, if anybody wants to share with us just a personal testimony of a choice that you've made in your life that has affected you in a big way. Does anybody want to? Just while you're thinking about that, I would just say, what do you do when you realize you've made a wrong choice? Remember, there's forgiveness. We all will make wrong choices, some big, some little. And just, again, remember, it's not if only I hadn't. It's what do I do now? And we go on for God. We confess that to the Lord, that we've made a wrong choice. We've acted independently. That's really what wrong choices are, aren't they? Acting independent of God. And when we confess that to Him, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we admit to God that we have made a wrong choice, it not only reminds us of what we've done wrong, God already knows it, doesn't He? He knows what we've done. But as we admit to Him, I believe it cements it in our minds that we have displeased Him and that we are looking to Him for forgiveness. And then we trust Him that He does forgive us and we go on. But we had a friend once, and when we met him, Joe said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm a Christian disguised as a truck driver." Like, his main reason for his employment was that he could live for the Lord. And that's what God wants. You're a biochemist, you're a Christian disguised as a biochemist. Each thing that we do, our motivating factor in that is to live for the Lord and to live for His glory. I have a friend that's a palliative care nurse, and daily she sees people that are at the end of their life with cancer. And she says, every morning before I go to work, she prays too that the Lord will use her in her job. And it's amazing the questions that some of the patients ask her. And again, it's because she's asked the Lord to help her. That's a choice how we spend our day. No matter what we're doing, it's for the glory of God. Well, I hope that you will just always remember that choices are important. A few years ago, we were at a camp with the Stiflers. Do you know Dave and Ruth Stifler? They're workers that they go around and they do a lot of children's work and they do a lot of camp work. But they gave us a little card, and we have made many, many more of these cards. But it's called Choices. It says, you can choose your choices, but you cannot choose the consequences of your choices. The thing about our choices is, after we make them, they turn around and make us. So take one of these little cards. Take the little card about trust, just as little reminders in your folder. And maybe you'll come upon other little verses or whatever, I would just encourage you, as you read in the Bible, in your daily reading, and you come to a verse about a choice, about making a decision, just put it in that. Start making a little file about decision making, about making choices. And every so often, go to that little file and look through it and see just how you are accumulating verses from the Scripture, instructions from the Lord about the decisions that you make. And also keep track. As you make a decision, how many of you journal? Does anybody journal? Yeah, quite a few. I don't do it every day, but you know, I find it so helpful to look back maybe a year, maybe 2 years, and just see places where I've been at crossroads or decisions to make or whatever, and see how God has come through and helped through different decisions and times in our life. And you know what I find it does for me, and maybe you do too? It really helps me to trust the Lord more. I see how faithful He's been. Then I can trust Him. Keep going on. He is a faithful God that I can trust, and it encourages me in that way. So I would just encourage you, as you make choices, make them through God's eyes. Use His Word as your textbook and as your guide, and He will show you the right way to go. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You for each of these women that are here today. And Lord, some are making difficult decisions, perhaps even this weekend, about the summer, about their future, maybe even about their life's partner. And Father, some of us are older, and we too are making decisions. Father, even decisions each day we make, all of us make, about our attitude and about whether we will be grateful for all that You are doing for us. There's just many, many decisions and choices we make each day. And I pray that You will help us to make godly decisions that will honor You and that will, again, help us to show You that we love You, that we trust You, that we are looking forward to being with You in eternity. And Father, we pray that as we do go through the rest of this weekend, that You will lead us. And Father, I pray for the people who received these packets this afternoon. Thank You for each one who was willing to go out, who made that choice to go out, Father, and do this work. And Father, for the people who have received them, I pray that they will make the choice to read these, the book and the literature that is given. And I pray that they will choose to trust Your Son as their Savior. We pray for the city of Parkville. We pray for the people here on the campus. And we pray for each of us that we will be a testimony for You. In Jesus' name, amen.